Welcome into the Air Raid Sports Podcast. I'm Chandler Carney, and with me as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
How you doing, man? You enjoying Thanksgiving break?
I am. I'm trying to, but I feel weird because ever since August when I started school, I've been substitute teaching and helping out at Wayne County with the baseball team. And every day, I've had something to do. And for the past few days, I haven't had anything to do. I've been bored out of my mind. I've been sleeping until 11, when usually I can't sleep past 8 o'clock. I just don't know what to do with my life, and I sort of hate not having anything to do. It's nice being out of school, but I think I'd rather have something to do.
Yeah, I actually hate Thanksgiving break because, like, I have taken a nap every day. I've been waking up at the same time, but
yeah. I can't take naps.
Well, if you sleep till 11, then that's understandable.
Yeah, I'm taking my naps in the morning now because if the sun's out and I ain't sick, I can't nap.
You know me, man. If I get on that couch and get comfortable and still, it's over with.
If you don't talk to Chandler for 5 minutes, you're going to hear him snoring.
Facts.
I'll be sitting over there. I won't have nothing to say. And I'll think of something. I'll say, hey, man, what you think about this? And then all you hear is, and I'm like, well, I just hope I remember when he wakes up.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm like an old man. I can't help it.
You are an old man.
I've actually been doing schoolwork this week and done a little bit of that and stuff like that, just so I don't get so far behind.
Man, at least you're being productive.
Yeah, I mean, school's not out. That's why I hate Thanksgiving break. That's why I hate spring break.
Yeah, you get a week off, and it's like, man, that was nice, and then jump right back in. You got dead week, and then you take tests, and then you're out for a month and a half. Or in your case, 2 months.
Yeah, like, well, at least with spring break, it's like in the middle of the semester.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving, the semester's over. You don't do anything when you come back.
Yeah, well, I have 2 tests when I go back, and then a presentation, and then finals.
That's it.
Yeah. But you saw the college football rankings come out today and are tonight. Just wondering, what are your thoughts on that, and what would you change or take away from it or anything like that?
Well, I think number one through three, they got it right. I've been saying it for over a month. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I've been saying it. If you listen to the show, I've been saying it. Ohio State, in my mind, is the most complete, and they are clearly, have been all season, the number one team in the country. At two, LSU, you can make an argument their schedule. I've seen it live. Their defense is a liability. You can't allow Ole Miss to run for 400 yards on you when you know going into that game, Ole Miss is not going to throw this football. They're going to run it down our throats, and you can't stop it. That is pitiful, in my opinion.
I mean, it's truthful.
You can't say you're the number one team in the country and rolling odds for knowing Ole Miss is going to do nothing but run the football, and you let them do that all night. And if they don't struggle out of the gate, you're in trouble. Three, Clemson, they got the ship righted. Trevor Lawrence, he's got the interception bugaboo out of him. He's got rid of the yips. That team is rolling. They look complete. Their only knock on them is they're in the ACC. They can't play anybody. They don't have anybody to play. That's not their fault. They just have to play the hand they're dealt. Alabama hasn't played any ranked teams other than LSU. So, I mean, there you go. And at four, I have the senior-laden Utah Utes. Every key position, they have a senior leading them that they can trust on. They've been perfect other than the one blunder to USC, and since then, they've been lights out. I don't see anybody. I think they're a scary team if you have to play them in a 1-4, especially if it's LSU. But if it's Ohio State, I'm not worried. But I think Utah is 4 because I think they're complete. I don't fully trust Georgia, but I have them at 5 right now because they have some quality wins. And right behind them, I have Oklahoma Sooners. I would have Alabama right at 4. Of Nick Saban, but I don't trust Matt Jones as their leader at quarterback. If Tua's there, they have a legit argument as the fourth best team in the country. Without him, I just don't see it. But that's my top six right now, and that's the way I see it. Tweet us after the show or whatever and let us know your thoughts. But that's the way I see it at this point. But at number one, the committee got it right.
Yeah, I think Ohio State is the best team in the country. Most complete team for sure, top to bottom. LSU, I agree, the defense is a liability. But you kind of have to wonder, do you think Dave Aranda is just kind of like just fucking around with people?
I don't know, man.
Because like,
the way Clemson's been playing the past 4 or 5 weeks has made the number one ranking that much more important.
Yeah, some lines came out today from Odd Shark for any potential LSU matchups for the playoff. And in every one of them, LSU is a favorite in. They're a 2.5-point favorite over Ohio State and a 1-point favorite over Clemson. So
I don't see that.
I don't either. But I think the first three, correct. They got it right in order. Number four, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with, I think Utah should be there. Very underrated player, very underrated quarterback for sure. And Hunt.
Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss are severely underrated.
I think they're a very good team, and I think the Oregon loss hurts them. But I think that they should be number four. And at five, I would put Alabama, and six, I'd put Oklahoma. I would not have Georgia in there. I trust Mac Jones leading Alabama's football team more than I trust Kirby Smart being the head coach of Georgia, winning a big game. Just
now, see your points. Kirby Smart, like I told Dad, we were sitting there in the living room. Georgia game comes on, they run out of time. I told him, I said, Georgia should win this game by 20. Well, because Kirby Smart is their head coach, they're going to get out, and you're going to find yourself in the third, fourth quarter, and Texas A&M is going to be in this game with a chance to win it. We're just going to hold on, but it's going to be close. And he looked at me sort of weird, and I was like, Kirby Smart will not step on anybody's throat, and Texas A&M will hang around in this game.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there in the fourth quarter. I said, well, I tell you, Kirby Smart can't do it. He won't step on anybody's throat. He won't blow anybody out. He doesn't know how to do it.
Ironically, I was talking to Taylor today, and she was asking tonight when the rankings were coming out. We watched it together. And, yeah, I know, right, relationship goals. And
you are correct.
And she was asking me about, you know, Georgia being at four. I was like, they don't deserve it. You know, because she likes Jake Fromm, and I do too. Don't get me wrong. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But I told her, word for word, I said, look at Kirby Smart. He had Alabama by the ball sack twice, and all he had to do was fucking squeeze, and they win a national championship, and they have the potential to win two, and he couldn't do it. He plays not to lose the ball game. He gets too comfortable with the lead and wants to sit on the ball.
That's going to hurt him in 2 weeks in the run. LSU will step on his throat.
Ed Orgeron is not taking prisoners this year. Okay?
No.
But you can say you don't like Herm Edwards, and I respect that, and that's fine. But I like Herm Edwards because he has a saying, and it's you play to win the game. And that's how he coaches. That's why they beat Oregon. If Kirby Smart is calling that game, Oregon wins it in the final 7 minutes.
Yeah, if they don't take that deep shot that won them the game to IU, and they play it conservative, Oregon gets the ball back, they march right back down the field and score, and then Kirby Smart and them have to open it up, and then they end up turning the ball over, and they'll lose that game. Oregon would have won that game.
Yeah, and, you know, they lost the Oregon State game, Arizona State did, and it's because Herm Edwards was playing to win. He wasn't playing to go to overtime.
No, he went for it in regulation. The play call was a little but they didn't get it done. They came back this week and got it done.
And to be honest with you, side note, in that game, he had three timeouts and thought, or they should have gotten the ball back. They had a shitty call on fourth down that didn't give that gave an automatic first down to Oregon State, and then took a knee and won it. So, you know, that's why I don't value Georgia, is because I don't value Kirby Smart. I think they have really good players. I think they have a really good defense. But Kirby Smart can't win this big game. He talks about how much he hates Steve Spurrier and all this and that, but he could learn a thing or two from the head ball coach.
And the head ball coach was going to beat you as bad as he could beat you and tell you, I'm going to beat you as bad as I can beat you. And if you're in this situation, I hope you do the same to me.
I mean, if he can put up, if Steve Spurrier can put up 100 on you, he's going to. And that's how you have to play football.
Yes. Leave no doubt. Buddy Stevens at East Mississippi, he's going to leave no doubt.
So, those are my rankings. The only real problem I have with the committee's rankings, a couple things. I think Auburn's valued too much.
Yeah, they're not that good. I think that's a brand ranking.
I just don't think Auburn should be ranked that high with three losses. You know what I mean? They don't really have that big win. Like they beat Oregon. I get it. Memphis should not be ranked above Cincinnati. Memphis also should not be an 11-point favorite over Cincinnati this weekend.
I agree.
Cincinnati's only losses to the number one team in the country, and you punish them for that.
They're punishing Cincinnati for having a loss to Ohio State, and yet they're rewarding Alabama for having a loss to LSU when Alabama hasn't played anybody but LSU.
Yeah, I mean, that could be very understandable, and you know. But those are my only real problems with it. I know if you ask our accountant, Logan, he doesn't think that a three-loss team should be ranked. So, basically, you should have a top ten, and that's it.
Logan, we're going to get Logan a top ten from here on out, and that's all it's going to be. Whoever's 11 through 25, who cares?
But yeah, that's my take on the whole rankings and everything about it.
But one thing about what Rob Mullins said tonight, as you're listening, would have been on Tuesday night, was like they clean the slate and they value what you've done this week, which in 2 weeks may actually hurt Alabama because they don't have an opportunity to play in a conference championship game. If the committee sticks to this, what have you done? And we're clearing the slate this week because Ohio State will have a ranked win. Or whoever wins the Big Ten will have a ranked win. The Pac-12 will have a ranked win. The Big 12 will have a top 10 matchup, and the SEC has a top 10 matchup. And I just don't see how they fit in there if they stick to this model.
Yeah, I think that's kind of bullshit because it's basically saying, well, if you play a good team that week, you'll get ranked higher.
Which is bullshit.
Like, okay, LSU can't help that they played Arkansas this week instead of Alabama or Auburn.
Just like when Ohio State came out ranked one in the first playoff rankings, they had Maryland and Rutgers the following 2 weeks. They can't help that. They went in and they handled business.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have to play those games. Those are conference games. It's not like they're playing an FCS school, you know?
Yeah. They have to play those games. They have no choice.
But switching gears to all these coaching changes, we're getting close to the coaching carousel. One of my favorite times of the year. I know that's kind of sad to say, but I like to see where people go and what's going to change with programs. What are your thoughts on the Arkansas, the Florida State, and the Rutgers open positions?
If I'm Arkansas, I'm making three calls.
To who?
Auburn goes in, lose it. If Auburn loses this week, that's my gun. You got to look in the mirror. I couldn't beat Alabama on a backup quarterback. You got to go to Arkansas. I'm calling Gus Malzahn and say, look, Gus, you come over here, you win eight games a year, and every fourth year you go 11 and beat Alabama, you'll die here. We're not going to be Auburn and say, look, you got to win 12 games a year. If he goes to Arkansas and does exactly what he's done at Auburn, he has a statue, and he will never go anywhere else. And I think he needs to go take that job.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he should have taken it 2 years ago. But he used it as leverage against Auburn to get more money. And I think both sides were stupid in that contract.
My second caller, I'm Arkansas. I'm calling Hugh Freeze. Screw the SEC. I see what you did at Ole Miss. You built a program. You're going to come. We want you to come here. We want you to do the same thing other than the illegal stuff.
Allegedly.
And we want you to come here and build a program. And then I would call Mike Norvell and say, look, we've seen what you've done at Memphis. We like it. We want you to come here. We're going to give you the reins to build your program and see what can happen. Because I think he's the best group of five coach out there that somebody is going to go get. And those are the first three calls that I make. And if all of those guys turn you down, then you open it up. Go national with it, but I'm making those three calls.
Yeah, I think the only thing with that is Mike Norvell, I think, has made it known to Arkansas, because I think they have contacted him, and I think he's told them, you know, I'm more interested in this Florida State job than this Arkansas job. And I don't blame him for that.
I'm still going to go after him hard, because if Florida State decides not to go with him, he still has options. And I want him to know that I want him back.
Yeah, Florida State has been in contact with Mark Stoops, and I think Mark Stoops is going to use this as leverage to get more money and stay at Kentucky.
Because if he goes to Florida State and doesn't get it done, then he'll be out of the job. He stays at Kentucky, wins 8-9 ball games. They're happy with that.
And, I mean, you got to think, like, he's winning games right now with their wide receiver playing quarterback, because every one of them's hurt.
Yes.
Greg Schiano in this Rutgers situation, it's a complete shit show.
He wants the world.
I don't think he wants the job. I think it was a Jay Cutler situation where, you know, a couple years ago, Cutler retires, signs a deal with, I think it was like CBS or somebody, and Tannehill tears his ACL and gets hurt, and Miami's like, hey man, we want you to play quarterback. He's like, well, $10 million a year, I'll come do it. All right, let's go. Well, shit, you called my bluff. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And I think this is what he was doing. He's like, well, I don't want anyone to oversee me. I want to have full control. I want $70 million. I don't think that was the exact number, but, and you know, I want
a
private.
Not astronomical.
I want a private jet. You give me those things, I'll come.
He doesn't want to coach Rutgers. Nobody wants to coach Rutgers. I don't blame. I'd rather stay wherever I'm at if I'm a linebacker coach at Georgia or whatever, and they call me and want me, then I'll come.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'd go. I don't know if I would go then, because, I mean, I would rather take the UNLV job before the Rutgers job.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's being reported by Football Scoop that there's a lot of interest from a lot of college football coaches, former coaches like Houston Nutt and Butch Jones for that job, and also a lot of NFL coaches or former NFL coaches are very interested in that job because, you know, they're going to get that new stadium with the Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to pack it out or anything, but, you know, that's intriguing to them, I guess.
I don't see how the Los Angeles teams are going to pack out this stadium. It's going to be a half and half thing, I believe. Oh, my team's coming to L.A. I'm going to go watch them.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think a lot of people in L.A. are Raiders fans, too, and they're losing their team from Oakland. So.
Yeah. I think Oakland, when they move to Vegas, they'll have more Raiders fans than the L.A. teams will have fans for them. When they play in their new stadium.
I think definitely more fans than the Chargers.
Yeah.
Maybe not the Rams.
The Chargers are playing 16 road games. no matter where they're at.
Yeah, you are correct. What do you think about Vanderbilt keeping Derek Mason?
I think they're all drunk.
They're on something, man. They're
I
on
think
something.
Them and the Ole Miss administration, they're okay with mediocrity, I guess. Because Ole Miss is on keeping Matt Luke, who I think is just average. He'll never win you more than 8 games a year. Derek Mason, he's been there 6 years. He's working on a 2-win season. I know from being an Ole Miss fan what a 2-win season is like.
Hang on. Did you say more than 8 wins?
Matt Luke will not win more than 8 games at Ole Miss ever.
I don't think he'll even win 8.
No, I was being generous.
That's very. I think 7 on a very good year is it.
Matt Luke will not beat Alabama, LSU, or Auburn.
And he probably won't beat the A&M either, or the rotating SEC East team.
No.
So, I mean, those are 5 losses right there.
I agree.
And there's not a guarantee you beat State. So.
The only guarantee he has right now is Vanderbilt because they kept Derek Mason.
Yeah, I mean, and Derek Mason beat him last year. So, it was a bullshit call, whatever, not getting into it, but he still won the game. I don't know, man. I think we have it bad as Ole Miss fans, but then you look over in Nashville. Like, if I was a fan of Vanderbilt, like a diehard fan, I would riot in the streets of Nashville.
It's unacceptable.
I mean, James Franklin proved that you can win there.
You win 2 games in your 6th season, you're fired. I don't care who you are or where you're at. You win 2 games in your 6th year, you're fired. There's no exception. There should be nobody who should stand for that, and they deserve everything that's coming to them because Vanderbilt fans showed them this week that they do not support it and they will not show up. That Vanderbilt next season, every home game they have will be a cheap ticket for whoever wants to come watch their team play because Vanderbilt fans will not show up, and I do not blame them one bit.
Yeah, me either. It's just, you look at Arkansas, like they won 2 games and Chad Morris got fired and not even finishing year 2, and then crossed the state line. Derek Mason's just kind of like, well, you know, I won 2 ball games, so I still got a job. Let's get after it.
Unacceptable.
Their offensive coordinator, I think that's where it is he doesn't implement their key players enough. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's unacceptable. And that's all I can say about it. I don't understand it. It was me. He was a big bone. But I'm not in that position. So they've made their bet. Now they have to lay in
it. One thing that gets brought up in most of these searches already is Mike Leach. And it's almost every time a job's open, especially down south in SEC, people are always like, well, why don't you go get Mike Leach? And I don't know if the SEC just doesn't want Mike Leach or what that deal is, but I think that a lot of it plays into, yes, he has turned around Washington State. Like, don't get me wrong. He's done a great job there, but he has never beaten Washington, ever. And
he's had every opportunity.
Yes.
And he's had every opportunity in coaching jobs. I know Arkansas was looking at him last time. Mississippi State was looking at him last time. And neither one of them pulled the trigger on it.
And Tennessee brought him in and wouldn't pull the trigger.
And didn't pull the trigger.
And I think that's got to be part of it, you know, because if you're a coach at Mississippi State and you go 6 years without beating Ole Miss,
you're gone.
Like, that's it.
You've been gone. It don't matter if you can win 11 games every year, but if you go 4 years in a row without beating Ole Miss, or if you're Ole Miss and you don't beat Mississippi State, fans are tired of it, and I think you don't keep your job. Because what it boils down to, you can say it means more or whatever, if you don't beat your rival, you're not going to last long.
Let's be honest. That's the only reason Jim Harbaugh gets the criticism that he gets.
Yes, because he can't beat Ohio State.
I think that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. I think he's overrated in what people expect and the pay that he gets, but he's still a good coach. They win 10, 11 ball games a year, but he's never beaten Ohio State.
They can't get it done against Ohio State.
That's why he gets on the hot seat so much with people in the media.
And the same thing with Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Every time his seat is boiling and he's about to get fired, he pulls out that win against Alabama.
It's the only reason they kept him because they beat Alabama that year.
Yes.
Say whatever you want to say. Like, that's it. That's the only reason they gave him the extension.
Yes.
And if he pulls out at 2:30 Saturday, if he beats Bama, it doesn't matter who their quarterback is. Fans will be happy. They'll say, "Oh, we'll cool down."
They're gonna be happy.
But Auburn should be undefeated right now. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yes. Their quarterback, Bo Nix, just hasn't got it done.
Continues to look like a freshman late in the year, and Gus doesn't open the offense up to him a lot. But, I mean, if he's your guy, you have to.
Just roll with him.
I mean, this man has played in the swamp and in Death Valley. Like, he's not a kid anymore. Okay.
Sometimes it takes guys a year or two to figure it out. Not everybody progresses as fast as others, and that may be the case. But at some point, you have to grow up.
Yeah, like you have to adjust and grow up on the fly. And you they should have beat Florida. They should have beaten LSU. And personal opinion, should have beaten Georgia. Kirby Smart gave them every opportunity to beat.
Yeah, and they just couldn't get it done.
I mean, Auburn has a top three defense in the country. Like, it's pushing number one overall. I think Ohio State is number one overall, but I think Auburn's a close second because they have the best defensive line in the country.
Yes.
Not the best defensive line player, but just
them two big boys on the inside are men.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key to this game with in the Iron Bowl is can Mac Jones handle this pressure because it's coming.
It's coming.
You know, I just think that's a weird coaching situation right there. There's an NFL executive that has actually said Auburn would be undefeated. They would be the number one team in the country if they didn't run Gus Malzahn's stupid offense.
If they had any offense, they would be undefeated.
I just think that he doesn't want to open it up enough, and maybe that's teetering on Kirby Smart's situation. We're going to rely on our defense and try to score when we can. But the freshman's thrown, I want to say, against Georgia, he threw 50 passes. He went 30 for 50. So, I mean, that's not like you're just sitting on the ball, you know, like you're trying to win at least.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a weird situation. I think another weird situation that we're not used to seeing is this. I told you this, I want to say last Saturday. You know, this isn't the same Chris Peterson that was at Boise State.
No.
This isn't the same Chris Peterson that took Washington to the playoff. I don't know what has happened with his coach. I know a lot of his coaching staff has left and taken, you know, head coaching jobs at other places and stuff. But it's really too conservative the last 2 years. And you see them play sometimes, and it's like this team could compete with anyone in the country. And then you see them play the next week, and it's like they couldn't beat Vanderbilt, man.
They've been very conservative. It's almost like they're the Georgia of the Northwest.
I mean, that's a very good comparison because – Athens is going to be rocking no matter what, and so is Seattle.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what it is. I think he's going to have to, at the end of the season, kind of look himself in the mirror and make some changes that need to be made.
And Jacob Eason hasn't given you what everybody expected he was going to give you this season.
Well, I mean, he's only throwing 20 passes a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that if you can get Jacob Eason to come back for a year, which would do Jacob Eason good.
I think he has no choice but to come back.
I think you have to go get him an offensive coordinator. Just like with Jake Fromm. I think if, you know, Jake Fromm gets out of the woods, you know, Doug Pooch, Waiters, everything, busts into Kirby Smart's office, talk to him about going to the draft, and he says, look, you know, I want to come back, but you need to get me somebody to call fucking plays. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'll come back. We can win a natty, but you have to get me something. Get me. Ed Orgeron went out and got Joe Brady, and I think that set the standard for a lot of pro-style offenses with good quarterbacks. Because last year, we were talking about if Joe Burrow beats you, he just beats you. Because we weren't aware of what he could do throwing the football. And then Joe Brady comes in, and then this is a completely different person.
Now it's like you can't let.
Now it's like, hey,
beat you.
If they run it down our throats, it's fine.
Yeah. What about the other quarterback up northwest, not in Seattle, but in Pullman?
I think Anthony Gordon is. I think that there are five players that are very underrated. The most underrated in the country, and they're all sitting in the Pac-12. I think Ayuk from Arizona State is very underrated. Hodgins from Oregon State, very underrated. Those two are in the top 10 categories of every receiving category in the country, and you don't ever hear anybody talk about them.
Yes.
I think that Huntley, very, very underrated. His running back, Moss, very underrated as well. That Utah team is good. But the most underrated player in the country to me is Anthony Gordon. And if Washington State didn't have such shitty defense this year, this kid would be in talks to go to New York for the Heisman.
Yes. East Coast bias, man. Can't get away from it.
Mike Leach, I told you he was good all year. I liked him. He's got a strong arm, makes accurate throws, good decisions, and he doesn't turn the ball over that much.
I mean, what, he threw 15 touchdown passes against UCLA?
Yeah, so.
And they still lost?
It's not his fault. And Mike Leach came out today and said, you know, the heir to Gardner Minshew is probably going to be better than him in the NFL.
Yes.
And, I mean, this kid can play football. I really think that those five guys, if they played on the East Coast, they would be in contention for every award.
Yes.
Personal opinion, you can tell me I'm a whiny baby and I'm a conspiracy theorist, whatever. But it's real. Look at McCaffrey, you know?
McCaffrey should have won the Heisman.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce Love the next year, I don't know, maybe not should have won the Heisman, but it's because people don't watch them play.
The East Coast bias is a real thing, and it's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
But not everybody has the same views as us. Nobody's willing to stay up and respect the Pac-12, as they should. They're still Power 5 out there. They still play football, and they have very good players. But nobody wants to sit down and watch and respect that.
Hey,
that I just don't agree with.
There's one guy in the media that does respect the Pac-12.
And that's Yogi Roth.
That's Yogi Roth. Fan of the show, our boy. I started to text him the other night and ask him, you know, what do you think about these shitty rankings with the Pac-12, man? They're not giving Utah any respect.
No respect.
If you follow Yogi Roth on Instagram, he breaks down the Pac-12 games every Monday, puts them on his Instagram story, and is really insightful. And you really see Utah from a different perspective because, I mean, he's just breaking down, telling you what they're doing. And
they have the top five defense in the country.
Yes, they do. Maybe a top three defense. Like it may be Ohio State, Auburn, and then Utah.
I would agree with that.
But I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Everybody's gonna get to see them play when they play in prime time in the Pac-12 championship game, and everybody's gonna see it.
You know, and even if they don't get to the playoff, I mean, you'll see them play in the Rose Bowl.
Nobody wants to see Utah right now.
I don't know, man. USC might.
I don't know, man. I don't know if they want to see them again. They got by them the first time. Utah played a terrible game. USC was on their third-string quarterback, but still, Utah played terrible, and I don't think anybody wants to see them right now.
Yeah, that was Keaton Slovis' first start, wasn't it?
Man, he went down. And then the third-string guy came in and won the game for him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Matt Fink started that game, and then Slovis came in.
Yeah.
So they got Georgia, I guess. No, that's not how it went.
Slovis started, and Matt Fink's third guy.
I got you.
The Slovis went down with a concussion.
All right, let's get into some picks this week. We're doing this now so that, you know, on Thanksgiving, everyone can eat and everything, and we can get these Thursday and Friday rivalry games in. First on the agenda, Thursday night, prime time, the only game nationally televised, Ole Miss at Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State's a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Who you taking, and what are your thoughts on it?
I've been going back and forth. I really didn't know who I wanted to pick. Both teams are struggling. But I had a Mississippi State guy come at me and tell me that John Rice Plumlee is going to win this game for Ole Miss, that he is that dude, and he is not going to let Ole Miss lose to Mississippi State. This coming from a Mississippi State fan, I was on the edge, maybe leaning a little bit towards picking State, but because he came to me and said that John Rice Plumlee is the man, he will not let Ole Miss lose, I'm going to go with Ole Miss in this game. And I think the key for both teams, I think whoever rushes for the most yards or has the most success rushing, or whoever has the most success stopping New Orleans will win this football game, because that is the identity for both teams.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Mississippi State wants to run it, we want to run it. If you make Plumlee throw, you're probably in a good spot. If you make whoever's the quarterback for State throw, you're in a great spot.
Yeah, if I'm the head coach if I'm Matt Luke, you know, after that last game, we're sitting at the table with all the coaches, and I'm looking at everybody, and I'm just saying, look, we are going to stack the box, and we're going to make them throw the football on us. And especially if I'm the DC at Mississippi State, I mean, if I'm the head coach there, I'm telling them, look, we're going to stack the box, and if Plumlee beats us with his arm, he just beats us.
If either team throws for 300, 400 and beats you, you just got to tip your cap to them.
Yeah. I like Ole Miss in this game, mainly because I'm an Ole Miss fan. But Mike McIntyre has come out and said, you know, there's going to be a completely different defense that State hasn't seen. They're throwing some wrinkles in there. So I'm excited to see that. And I think, you know, Plumlee's going to have to get it done with his legs. Scotty Phillips is coming back in this game, and I think that Scotty Phillips should get 20 carries a game.
Yeah.
15. Anything after that, gravy.
I'm ready to see Plumlee get these 11 yards and break 1,000 and 8 ball games.
Yeah, that is crazy. Another exciting factor to this game for us, Pat McAfee will be on the mic commentating this game.
I cannot wait. I hope he's still in the booth Thursday night next year when they come to Oxford, so let him go meet him.
Yes, I will blow his Twitter up.
I'd love it. That's going to make this game even better if Ole Miss can come out and dominate, have a Pat call it.
Yeah, imagine, you know, the night before the game, we just get Pat McAfee on our show.
Oh. I wouldn't know what to do with myself, man.
Me either, dude. It'd be crazy, man. It'd be a wild time.
It'd be awesome.
Hey, are you going to rock the George at your family Thanksgiving?
Yes, I am rocking the George this Thursday.
You should wear the allegedly shirt.
I might.
You definitely should.
I'm probably going to have a hoodie on, but I'm definitely going to be rocking the allegedly shirt from the MetLife mishap.
Well, next up on our list, we got Virginia Tech at Virginia. Virginia Tech's a 2.5-point favorite. Whoever wins this game gets the unfortunate honor of playing Clemson in the ACC championship game.
I'm going to go with the Hokies. They get it done for Bud Foster, and they send him to Charlotte to the ACC championship game, and he gets to see what he can do against Clemson in his final year. I'm going to roll with the Hokies.
Yeah, same reason I'm going with Virginia Tech is because of Bud Foster. I think they're going to give him one extra game to coach in. Next up, we got Iowa and Nebraska. Iowa's a 5.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm going with the home dog and Scott Frost to get it done against Iowa at home. I'm calling the upset. It may be stupid, but I told myself a while back I'm not going to pick Nate Stanley again, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, Nate Stanley is awful. But Iowa's defense is very good, and I think they're going to keep them in this ball game. So I'm going to go with Iowa in this one. Next up, we got Cincinnati at Memphis. Memphis is an 11-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
I like Cincinnati, but this being in Memphis, Beale Street's rocking. The crappy little Liberty Bowl will be rocking. And Memphis is going to win this game because they're going to win it. They want to go to the New Year's Six Bowl game, and they need this to do that. I picked against them twice this year. It's bitten me twice. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to roll with the Tigers and Mike Norvell.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Cincinnati in this one. I think that their only loss is to Ohio State. They're the better team. So I think they're going to –
Cincinnati's just been struggling the past couple weeks, man. They've been winning, but it's been ugly.
I think they're going to turn around this week. They know what's at stake this week. Next up, we got the Apple Cup, Washington State at Washington. Washington's a 7-point favorite. We touched on this game earlier with the two coaches and the quarterbacks. Who are you taking in this one?
We talked about Mike Leach not being able to get it done. He gets it done this year, and they go into Seattle, and they beat the Washington Huskies.
Listen, man, people say all the time, history repeats itself. And if history's taught us anything, Washington's going to win this ball game, and I think Jacob Eason is a Seattle native. He knows what this game means to Washington fans, to the Seattle community, and I think he's going to give it everything he's got, and they're going to come away with a win in this game. Next up, we have the game, Ohio State at Michigan. Ohio State's an 8.5-point favorite in this one. I talked to you earlier before I saw this line. I was like, I don't know if Ohio State can cover it. But then my mind, it was going to be like 20-something points. So I'm definitely going to roll with Ohio State and lay points down on that one.
You all know where I'm going. OH.
What do you think about that line? Do you think that's too close?
It's a game, and you never know what can happen.
I feel like it's a trap line.
It's got to be. I don't trust Shea Patterson to keep it that close.
I don't either. I mean, like, if it was 21 points, I would. Make a statement
because it's still out there and everybody's still questioning them. I think they're going to make a statement this week.
Yeah, I think 17 points is going to be what they're going to win by. Next up, we got Louisville at Kentucky. Kentucky's a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
I've been riding Louisville all year. I'm going to ride him in this one. I really don't. He's been playing well, but I still don't trust a wide receiver playing quarterback. Cardinals.
Man, I'm going to go Kentucky here just because it's at home. I think that crowd is going to be the key to this game. Kentucky has won ball games. They have not been pretty. They have no quarterbacks. But I'm going to roll with Mark Stoops and the Wildcats. Next up, we got Indiana at Purdue. Indiana's a 6.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
The Hoosiers of Indiana and Tom Allen get it done this week.
Yeah, I was hoping that they could play a little bit better last week against Michigan. Didn't quite work out for them, but I think they bounced back this week, and I'm going to take Indiana. Next up, we have the Iron Bowl, Alabama at Auburn. Bama's a 3.5-point favorite. I know we've both been back and forth on this one, so who are you taking?
I've been back and forth, and if Tua's playing, I have no doubts. I've vocalized that I've been up on the edge with Matt Jones. I really don't know what he can or can't do, but I do know what Bo Nix has done this year, and I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to roll with Alabama and Nick Saban. Nick Saban is better coached. They need this game to keep their playoff hopes alive, and Nick Saban's going to come in with the plan, and they're going to get it done. Still unsure of Matt Jones. Who knows? We may have a little brother sighting in this game, but I'm going to roll with the Tide and Nick Saban to get this one done.
Yeah, I mean, they burned his red shirt last week for no reason, so may as well play him in this one if you need to. You know, we talked about Gus Malzahn and what's been going on this year, and this team should be undefeated, and I've been high on Auburn, but you know what I mean? Like, you have to win those games at some point. Yeah, they're too close, just like with Matt Luke and Ole Miss. Like, at some point, you have to win one of those games. I think that Auburn's defense is going to get after Mac Jones. Ready to see how he handles that. But I'm going to go with Auburn in this one. if Tua was playing, definitely I would go with Alabama.
Yeah.
But Bo Nix is the son of the former Auburn quarterback. Whatever. He knows what this rivalry means to Auburn fans, to the state of Alabama. And I think that he'll have the best game of his career to this point in this game.
Well, so if you're right, man.
I hate this pick, man. If you don't hate your picks, it's not a good pick, and I really hate this pick. So
I was hating it either way because I'm really unsure.
Wisconsin at Minnesota. Wisconsin's a 3-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
Row the boat. I've been rowing the boat all year. I know I picked Penn State in that game.
I was about to say, not every week.
I was going with my head instead of my heart, and it really bit me. I was still rowing the boat, just not on the air. I wanted Minnesota to win. They got it done. I'm not picking against P.J. Fleck again, but I will do it next week because it's Ohio State. But anybody but Ohio State, I'm rowing the boat.
Yeah, I'm going to go Minnesota as well in this one. I don't trust Wisconsin. They're a pretender. next up, Iowa State at Kansas State. Iowa State is a 4.5-point favorite. I don't know what teams you suck at picking the most. It's either these two or Texas Tech. Who are you taking in this one?
I can't do it. Everybody I pick loses. I don't know. Brock Purdy. I talked about him again. Brock Purdy, that's it. That's all I'm saying, Iowa State. I have no reason they're
going to
lose now, but that's it. That's the pick.
I'm going to go Kansas State in this one.
No, you won. Good pick. Good pick. Good faith. Had to do it.
Next up, we got North Carolina at NC State. North Carolina's an 8-point favorite. They need this win to be bowl eligible. Who are you taking in this one?
North Carolina gets it done and gets Mack Brown to the bowl game.
Yeah, I'm going to go UNC as well. Next up, we have the Bedlam game. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. 13.5-point favorites is for Oklahoma. Who are you taking in this one?
Boomer. That's old people, the Sayers.
Shocker.
I'm going to Oklahoma and Stars this week, and they play a complete game and make a statement now that they can get back into the playoffs.
I think people think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback until they actually watch him play quarterback.
He's the second best quarterback on the roster.
Yeah, he just doesn't. I mean, I think he's a good person. I think he has a good story, you know. But when it comes down to it, he does not play his best every week. And you're gonna need your best in this game. I understand it's basically 14 points, but so I'm gonna go with Oklahoma State in this one.
Ooh, I'm going to go ahead and put this one out there. I may be totally wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. The quarterback on Tyler, he should not take a transfer this fall. He needs to roll with what he got. If Spencer Rattler comes in, he fits Lincoln Riley's offense perfect and has a strong chance to win two Heisman trophies.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, probably shouldn't have taken this transfer in as well this year.
No, but he's had, but you look at the other two Heisman Trophy winners, they had a year to sit in the system before they took it over and had to go out there and play. And that's why if you're just looking for a dark horse Heisman beginning of next year, I'd put a little bit of cash on Spencer Rattler. The dude can ball.
Yeah, also you might have to think that, you know, the trouble he got in high school could have played a factor in Lincoln Riley wanting to bring in a veteran to lead him.
Yeah, because you never know what may happen. Yeah. Plus, he's going to be throwing the 2 5-star receivers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree. I think that, you know, when this season's over and the Heisman odds come out and they have this kid, you know, 200-1 odds, yeah, I'm going to go throw down $20 on that.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we got Arizona at Arizona State. Arizona State's a 14-point favorite coming off that big win against Oregon. Who are you taking in this one?
Here's another team I can't pick, and they win. Arizona State, I can't. Everything I do with them, it goes the opposite, but I'm going to throw the forks up this week and hope they can get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to go Arizona State as well. I know that's a surprise.
I hope I don't bring you down this week, man.
And the last game on our list, Cal at UCLA. UCLA's a 2-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
UCLA and DTR and Chip Kelly get it done, and they score more points than Cal can.
Ooh, I'm going to go Cal in this one. They got Garbers coming back. I'm going to go with Wilcox and these Golden Bears. I know I hadn't been high on them since about week 4 or 5, but they kind of hit a slump when they had to go to their backup quarterbacks. They weren't fortunate to have a diamond in the rough like USC. For my air raid dog, I got Duke +9 versus Miami. I think they're going to get an outright win this week. Who you taking as your dog?
I take Memphis to win the game, but I'm going to pick Cincinnati to cover in the game.
That's a very good pick. I think Cincinnati will win it outright.
I'm going to hope they do what Ole Miss has done a few times. I picked them to lose, but to cover, and maybe Cincinnati can do the same for me.
All right, we're going to get into NFL picks. We got Bills at the Cowboys. Cowboys are a 6.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
Nobody circles the wagon quite like the Buffalo Bills. They roll into Dallas and get it done.
Josh Allen's been playing really good football lately. Just this whole month, really.
The Buffalo Bills are going to get Jason Garrett fired.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Bills as well.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't think Jason Garrett will get fired. I don't know. I think he's gonna end up being, you know, a Clay Helton situation where I don't think Clay Helton will get fired. I just don't.
Unfortunately for USC.
Next up, we got the Saints at the Falcons. The Saints are a 7-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
Yeah,
I'm going with the Saints as well. I know that's definitely a shocker.
Shocker.
Next up, we got Browns at the Steelers. The Browns are a 2-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
It's come out today that Ducky Hodges is going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It does not matter. The Browns are playing better. And I think the key to that has been Kareem Hunt coming back. The offense has looked better and more complete. And I think the Browns and Baker Mayfield get it done this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Duck Hodges in this one and take the Steelers.
Ooh.
Next up, we got the 49ers at the Ravens. The Ravens are a 6-point favorite. Who are you taking?
Been back and forth the whole time, and I lean Niners, I lean Ravens, but I'm going to roll with the hot hand of Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram to get it done at home. I like their defense. they may have the best cornerback tandem with Humphreys and Peters in the NFL. And I think that's the reason they get it done. Though with Kittle playing, the Niners are great.
You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or know this, but I hate the 49ers.
I did not know that.
My mom hates the 49ers, so, you know, if I wanted to be loved as a child, I had to hate the 49ers and the Falcons as well.
Yeah.
So, every time I pick against the 49ers, they win by insurmountable points. So, I'm going to go with the 49ers in this game.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm sorry, Mom. Don't disown me.
Your mom's going to hate you for this. In
the last game, Monday Night Football, Vikings at the Seahawks. The Seahawks are a 3-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
Before I pick this game, I'd like to apologize to Darren, avid listener of the show. Huge 49ers fan. I'm sorry I had to pick against your Niners, but I just had to do it. It's business. I'm sorry. But in the Monday Night Football game, as their quarterback loves to say, go Hawks.
Yeah, I think the MVP race is going to come down to Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. Do not sleep on Russell Wilson. I know Lamar Jackson's been playing out of his mind, but Russell Wilson has been getting it done week in and week out as well. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Seahawks in that one. All right, man. You got any final thoughts to this one?
Well, that's the second time they've had to do this, so we can go through and tell everybody what I mean by that.
Well, this is take two.
Your mess up, I'll let you go.
So, Brady's actually in Waynesboro, and I'm in Oxford at the apartment. And, well, you know, got everything set up, and we start the podcast and we go through the entire thing, and it was a banger, man. Probably the best podcast we've ever done. And as soon as we finished, I was gonna unplug everything, and I noticed that I did not plug in our soundboard to my laptop, so all you heard was static.
That was all you, man. That's terrible.
I felt really bad. I felt like a dumbass, to be quite honest.
That's so bad. It happens, though.
I don't think it does.
I mean, I can't be mad, because I'm like, yeah, I can definitely see myself doing that. I can definitely see that happening to me.
It's like this this one time I was living at Jones with my roommate Ad. And it was a suite. So you had a bathroom between you and the next dorm.
Yeah.
And I went to, before we moved in, I just went to Dollar General and bought like 10 things of toilet paper. Okay.
Yeah.
If that was like a dollar. And I was like, we're set for the semester, man. That's 60 rolls. And it was kind of like one of those bathrooms at like a gas station type thing, I guess, where the back part's actually metal. And so we used to set the toilet paper on it. And Ad knocks the toilet paper in the toilet, the whole roll. And he comes out and he's like, hey, man, can I get some more toilet paper? And I was like, yeah, you're right here. And he says, I'll never forget this. He's like, honestly, I'm surprised it's the first time that's happened. And I was like, what? Do you just go around just throwing the toilet paper as a whole roll into the toilet? So that's what I feel like right now. Because I feel like I'm surprised it's the first time that that's happened.
That's fair.
It really is. I mean, I just didn't. All it is you just plugged the USB port into it, and I just didn't do that.
It is rare that we have not forgotten to do that yet.
Yeah, I just actually checked to make sure that the soundboard was plugged in or something, because I felt like that would have been my luck tonight.
Yeah, Now, if you had done it again, it would just been a moot point. We just had to give up. It's just not meant to be.
Yeah. But anyway, man, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I hope everyone listening has a good Thanksgiving.
You too, man. Have safe travels going. Be careful going to Birmingham and back. Drive safe.
Yeah, man, we're going to college football mecca of the world. I hope everyone eats some good turkey. If you're a vegetarian or vegan and listen to the show, I hope you eat good food as well.
Whatever that may be.
You know, you can follow us on Twitter at MrCarney_14. He's at BWalt_8. You can also follow the show at Air Raid Sports. Tell us, you know, you can send us any questions. We'll answer them on the air. Whatever you listen on, whatever platform, just give us a rating, good or bad. We accept all kinds of
bad.
We accept criticism.
If you hate us, let us know.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't know what we can fix if we don't know the problem.
Exactly. If you love us, let us know.
And thank y'all for listening.